now have a new conflict of interest code. All right, 14 is update the procurement of products and services policy.
So you may remember last October the board reviewed and adopted its first ever procurement policy. And in that policy is mentioned that within a year of its enactment that the board would review the policy, see if any edits are necessary since we've had this in place. I have provided a redline version. I also have clean copies of some proposed changes to this policy based on the experience that we've seen over the last year. I am requesting a few edits in this policy. One would be increasing the limit from 25 to 50,000. And then also entertaining an exception to that limit for more day-to-day operational items, including insurance and security items and other such things.
So we got the redlined old copy in the packet, and you just handed out the finalized new one.
Just one grammatical correction.
Yeah.
Under two objectives, A1, the subject of the sentence is the acquisition. So the verb agreement should be is, not are.
I'm sorry, which on page one?
No, well, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right here. See,
It should be is.
The acquisition is.
Yeah. Good catch.
So the current policy is to review this annually?
Initially, there would be a review within a year, and then from that point on, within 3 years.
Okay, so based upon your experience so far, is this enough of a limit? Or I actually considered whether or not it should be higher. But in your own experience day-to-day, do you bump into this limit very often?
The 25, there have been some instances of that. What I've seen in some other plans is actually 100,000.
Right.
But I kind of wanted to get the sense of the board on such matters.
I'd like to have the board consider a limit higher than 50, because it seems to me this is going to be an annual review as we ratchet this thing up. But maybe doubling is enough. I would defer to the board.
I'm comfortable at 50. What is the county's policy?
The county's policy?
Yeah.
We looked at it last year when we were creating this. I don't remember off the top of my head, and I haven't looked to see if they've changed it in that time period either. Yeah.
Jerry, would you take it to 100?
I mean, that's another bogey, or we could split the difference and say 75. But, you know, I just thought. So, but I'm...
One thing I also wanted to mention as a side note is that if there are items that I'm looking at that I feel like, you know what, I think this should go to the board, then even if it's under the limit, I will take it to the board because of the subject matter or whatever. And I don't have anything off the top of my head I can think of, but I think it really falls to the judgment of the CEO on what items should be going to the board. I'll add that caveat.
Well, how much did you spend last year?
No, it's more a matter of how many times does she...
How many times we have to go back to the board. I mean, recently there's been some that I've brought back to the board. You know, you'll remember the fiduciary insurance, right. The CPAS renewal, some of those items have come back.
So you receive insurance here, would that mean that when you renegotiate employee benefits, that would not come to us? Employee insurance benefits?
Well the benefits would come back to the board.
It's a procurement policy.
Yeah, but that's an annual procurement.
Independent of a dollar limitation.
Independent of a dollar.
Well, in other words, a change in our health program for our employees would
come
to the board.
Yeah, I mean, that would go under our normal
negotiation
process.
Even though the increase was $49,000.
Yeah, I mean, that would be worked out through our normal negotiation process.
So I'm not sure the answer to the question. So next, so when we come up on renewal of our employee benefits insurance, I understand there's a labor negotiating process in that, but the actual procurement part is always over $50,000. But it's been accepted. I mean, there's an exception for it here. So does that mean you would not come back to the board with the procurement of the employee health insurance and benefits?
We would.
You would?
Yeah.
I take that to be part of coming back to the board with approval of a new contract.
Yeah, that's part of that.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of contracts or documents that I think would be involved. And with the actual renewal, based on the reading of the changes to this policy, the renewal wouldn't come back to the board. But the decisions all along to come to an agreement about the benefits, that's not the procurement of service here, that's the negotiation between the board and labor, that obviously will come to the board.
So if our, I'll give you an example, if our existing benefit plan, health insurance plan, we get our renewal and it goes up 25% over what it was last year. It's the same benefits, so there's no change in benefits. That would not come to us, because insurance has been accepted.
Well, is that what this insurance here means?
So one thing to clarify when it comes to employee benefits insurance is that if there's a change in vendor or a change in the dollar amount in what we're doing, that would come to the board.
It has to
come to the board.
Change in the dollar amount of our benefit insurance would come to us without any change in benefits.
I think that if that's the intent, then we would either have to add it to the list of core service providers, or somehow specify that in the policy, because right now it would fall under the renewal exception.
It's just insurance.
But we can add this to that, but it's even in the employer.
So if the MOU, the unrepresented employees resolution, you've adopted a certain cost that is associated with it. Right now, it's a fixed dollar. So if our health care rates go up, the cost would not go up because it's a fixed dollar amount right now. If that was changed at any time where it was a percentage split between employee and employer, then it would always come back. So anytime there's going to be an increased cost of the association, it always comes back to the board.
Yeah.
No matter if it's $5,000 or $50,000, anything in the employee benefits arena where there's an additional cost to the association, it comes back to the board.
So I would think we need to alter this language a little.
We would need to exactly to address that specifically in
well,
here.
Are you referring to this letter J paragraph or elsewhere?
Non-core service providers. And there too.
So I think it would make sense to add as a core provider employee benefits insurance or some language such that that's clear.
Okay. This is under K, I assume. Yeah.
J?
C? Our core service providers?
Well, it's accepted in K too.
K is insurance is the exception.
Oh, yeah.
So, not to throw a wrench in this, but renewals of services with longstanding vendors, we do have them with core vendors as well. So maybe we should talk about, is that something that will now not back to the board? For example, the actuary, the custodian.
Well, no, the core service ones would come back.
Would come back.
Yeah. I think so it's only those that would be considered core because they reach that dollar limit that would actually.
Yeah,
Because the core ones are, no matter the dollar amount, they're coming back to the board, absolutely. Custodian would, you know, the list would absolutely come back. So that's why I'm comfortable adding the employee benefit insurance, because we know that that would always come back.
So essentially, under K, renewals that are exempt would only be renewals of non-core vendors. Right?
Yes.
Right. So I think we probably want to clarify that language.
Which you've defined non-core service providers on page 2 as only being ad hoc consultants and information technology services.
Those are included but not limited to.
Okay. But I guess where I got hung up in this was the removing the insurance brokers from that. But I guess it's
so I would see under C, where we have 1 through 8, I would add employee benefit insurance as a plan number 9 under there. And then maybe to clarify under item K, where we talk about acquisition of insurance, we could put a qualifier in there, except employee benefit insurance, just so that that's clear. Does that make sense?
You can put non-employee related.
Yeah.
However, it
benefit.
Works.
So also under K, we would clarify that renewals are exempt to the extent that they're core vendor contracts. Sorry,
yes.
Non-core vendor contract renewals.
If you're adding, if we add in, oh, you're going to add employee to C, right?
In C?
Yeah,
yeah.
Not to D.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that works. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have it.
Define employees insurance. What kind, what
medical,
are you talking
dental?
About?
So employee vision. Benefit insurance.
Okay.
To cover.
Typically.
Health insurance too.
So we're talking about medical insurance, dental insurance, vision insurance,
life.
Disability. You know, short-term, long-term disability insurance, SDI. You know.
You have the authority to authorize that up to.
Not now. Not now, and we wouldn't change that in the future. That would always come back to the board, because it's a negotiation item.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Do we have a motion yet?
Nope.
No, don't have a motion yet. Probably makes sense to, Karen, do you have enough notes to define the changes to what we are approving?
Sure. So under, on page, well, let's start with page 1. 2A1 would remain the same. We'll keep the word is.
Well, we'll change it from R to is.
R to is.
Because in the copy I just handed out, it had R.
Right. So we'll keep it the same as the current policy with the word is. Page 2 under C, core service providers will add employee benefits insurance contracts or vendors to that list. And on page 5K, exceptions to the expenditure limits, I think there was some discussion about whether it should be 50,000, but besides that, specify that renewals of services with long-standing non-core vendors, that would be an exception to the expenditure limits, meaning that they wouldn't come back to the board for approval. Was there another clarification, Gail, you suggested about?
Well, after acquisition of insurance, we would put in parentheses something about, you know, the employee.
Except employee insurance, yeah.
Did we determine what the threshold was? I mean, we had some discussion, but I guess there's no motion.
I'm not a groundswell of support for my suggestion, so.
We want to just discuss that? I mean, is there support for moving it from 50,000 up?
I don't. I think 50,000 is fine. Why mess with it? It's fine.
I'd stay with 50 unless Gail said that was a real pain in the neck.
Then I might.
I agree with
that. Well, we can move it to 50, and if you see us coming back a lot, we can look at it.
What do you mean move it? You said 50.
We're at 50, so.
I'm saying we could do 50, and then, you know, at a later date, if we see, I'm having to come back a lot for these operational.
Yeah, then we can up it.
Because I think that, you know, the increasing to 50 and then also the exclusion of some operational kind of items.
So move the agenda item with the corrections noted.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion passes unanimously.